We got together a group of our favorite artists, and we came up with the name DeLurk, which itself means lurkers who are on the internet who don't engage but are always outside the community, but on the edge viewing it. And if you DeLurk, then you become part of the community and you engage in the conversation. So that's the whole meaning of our gallery, and that's what we want to do. Be part of the community, bring the community in, bring the best art we can. We've got mentorship programs to help younger artists from elementary school to college age students, and we just want to be a very positive force in the arts community.
How often do you show?
We show every month. We completely change the show every single month. It's always fresh art from beginning to end.
That's pretty intense, isn't it?
It is, but that's what we want to do. We want to be intense. Every month when people come to the openings, we want them to have a completely different experience. Drawing is the key to my paintings and lines. I'm really interested in line, really influenced by Herring and his line, and some of the German expressionists and the lines they used. So that's the key for me. But it's more of, most people see it as pop graphic style.
Yeah, I'm seeing elements of animation, film, painting, line drawing, so much all woven together. It's very intense, very lifelike, the images, in a sense. Not, I don't know if that's even what you were intending.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you. That's a compliment. Yeah.
I want to know these people. There's the African-American male with the kind of quasi-dreads.
Basquiat. Michel Basquiat.
Just really like looking right through me.
Oh, well, you can definitely see the influence of Basquiat on Chad more than me, but he's big influence on both of us. So like taking an icon like that was kind of important for us to really express, both of us express ourselves through that kind of imagery.
Chris, I enjoyed looking at the trailer, Kabiria Pictures, the initial image, and that video. It seemed like it was either Buddhist-drawn or Hindu-drawn images, and wall art. Put me in that first process, you know, first paint stroke on the wall. What's going through your mind on that?
Well, the last couple of years, and before, I've traveled in Nepal and India a lot and work in Kathmandu. So the Asian influence is there from just spending time in India and Nepal. And earlier before that, I spent time in Cambodia and Thailand. And I don't know, I just like traveling in that part of the world. And I like the imagery, and I like the I like how it mixes with Western culture over there. Watching Western culture kind of crash into India and crash into Nepal, and how it influences and affects the traditional culture there is one of the most interesting parts about being there. And I was working there as a tattoo artist. And so it was just a really interesting, that's kind of, it all kind of mixed together in a jumble and comes out that way, I guess. It's hard to explain. It's like being, it's like everything sort of just being thrown into a blender and blended up and thrown on the wall, and without really thinking about it too consciously.
Clash of cultures and how an artistic something comes out of that.
Well, yeah. You know, Kathmandu is still recovering from a civil war. And India is, you know, the last 10 years, they've been had a huge economic push, and that's affecting everyone around them. But Western culture has been flowing into that part of the world. You know, it has a huge influence over there.
Yeah.
And in Nepal, for me, the most interesting part about Kathmandu was the underground culture there, the underground scene. The music scene and metal and punk is huge over there. Tattooing is huge, Western style tattooing.
Yeah.
But it all mixes with the traditional culture there to sort of make something new. And it's just watching all of the younger people in Kathmandu, watching them, how they're sort of trying to find themselves and figure out what they're doing, is just great. It was amazing. So it had a huge impact on me. So,
yeah, clearly. And so this is kind of synthesized in your work. Talk me through Drift, Zach.
Drift. That was the last of four pieces for A New Continent, the piece that the series I made for this show, which was really a culmination, I feel, for myself of my evolution since I've become a member actually at DeLurk.
How so? How did it begin? Where are you now?
Well, you know, I was always painting and drawing, but not at the, you know, when you're doing it for yourself at home, it's difficult sometimes because, you know, to have a place to put it. Part of the impermanence of, you know, like when you're done with the piece, you're done with the piece. You don't want to have them littering your house and staring at, you know, your past. You know, once I work through the idea I have, I find that my work evolves, my process evolves, I change. and what I'm trying to express changes, or at least the way I can does for myself.
It's dreamscape, like some of these images with a palette of colors that recurs, but then all of a sudden there'll be a face here or there that just kind of almost, there's almost a movement element, like it comes and goes. There, you know, some are really, just notice how they corner my eye, and then suddenly they're right in the center of my mind. Talk me through that process and what sorts of gestures you were getting at.
Well, the whole series with the title, The New Continent, I was trying to impose the idea, I like the idea anyways, of what a new continent would mean. Right now, you know, we're fighting for population and resources, and we have a lot of clash of culture. And a lot of misunderstanding of cultures. And I feel like even if we had a new continent to move to, eventually it would end up in a similar state just from the nature of humanity, which we've, you know, when you look at drift, that's kind of the reflection on what just happened. And you see, you know, the person's holding a bow, has a mask on, and the face underneath, the skin underneath is just red. There's a part of the face showing that's red. Because, you know, the flesh is gone kind of thing. And it's kind of after everything, what's left. And it's kind of back to the beginning, you know, sitting there with the bow, very primordial kind of. There's overgrown structures in the back, structures with foliage growing over them. And there's a face in one of the, in the mountainside. But, you know, the pieces leading up to that kind of deal with the struggle we have day to day dealing with fitting what we want as our passions and our motivations into the mold of society. As you go along, when you get to drift after the other pieces that are, I feel like, have a lot more of the abstract part going on, but I feel like a lot of what we do every day is abstract. Sometimes you do something for years and then you realize you've been doing it wrong or that's not what you want to do at all. And I'm kind of speaking to that, but for me, I was really pushing myself to a new place with what I was doing with my art. I felt I needed to move it somewhere.
Yeah. And is it more refined? Is it a different color palette? Is the use of light?
Well, with that piece, I kind of went for more of playing with the white space in the canvas, which I don't do often. I did a lot of that with the series. I left a lot of empty space, room for thought. But with the figure, too, I don't usually have a solid figure that's not breaking up. I mean, the bottom of the person is kind of fading out, but this is that's the first person I think I've done in the last year that wasn't breaking up or breaking apart. And I think that might be what makes it stick out from everything else that I have done. Even the mount, there's not one part of that piece that's really breaking up, and I tend to always break something up. So for me, that is the last piece in the series because it's not breaking up. It's it's the one that's a solid, kind of like a solid conclusion to what all the other chaos and landing points were. You know, the faces and some of the textures I do in the abstract parts are, you know, they lend aesthetic landing places, but also I want them to lead you around the piece in a certain way, hopefully. You know, that causes you to stay there for a while and really take in what you're viewing.